Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. God bless you, and welcome to the 16th day of November 2017. We've got a great broadcast lined up for us today, and what we're going to do in the next hour is open the telephone lines for anybody that would like to join in the broadcast today. The number to call is 818-369-0326. That's 818-369-0326. If you have any questions or comments about the broadcast today, or you just want to share something from your heart, make sure that you do. And I'm going to begin the broadcast today. And again, you are listening to the Omega Radio Network. It's a 24-hour a day, 7 days a week. We are broadcasting with different speakers from different places within this country and from Australia, as Daniel Seckham will be joining the Omega Radio Network as well. So again, I invite you to listen continually to the Omega Radio Network. This is just one program for an hour a day, but really Omega Radio Network has some outstanding messages and messengers that are broadcasting all day long. So if you're out there and just get that Omega Radio on your front screen, on your telephone, your iPad, your computer, wherever you listen to, and there's always a phone number you can listen to the program from. Also, we are simulcasting with Blog Talk Radio, so if ever you want to hear any of our archives, you could always go to blogtalkradio.com/X-Man777. You can get all of over 2,000 of our audio broadcasts. And I want to shout out to our friends in Africa today and in Jordan and down in South America, Venezuela. We've got folks listening in 8 different nations right now. And we want to just bless you guys if you're listening in and I know that you're going through things perhaps that we here in America don't even understand at the moment, especially if you're in Venezuela with the internal wars that have been going on down there, or in the Middle East, in Jordan and Africa and these predominantly Islamic parts of the world. Maybe you're a Muslim and you're tuning into the broadcast. We want to tell you Yeshua or Isa loves you. And we just praise God for you taking the time to listen in. And hopefully there'll be things that will prick your conscience and let you know that God loves you with an everlasting love and he has a purpose for your existence. And maybe by tuning into this broadcast right now, there could be an internal well break loose inside of you, getting filled with the Holy Spirit and receiving eternal life. It really, is an amazing thing to stop and think that God has offered eternal life. You could be in the situation you're in right now, and it may be a miserable, tough situation, and yet you can receive God's grace, God's gift to the world, his only begotten Son, who's not just a prophet, but it's very out of the very bosom of the Father. God himself gave birth to a son through a virgin womb. You know that in the Quran, if you're listening in that region, you know it's true. And yet there's been this blackout about who Yeshua is or who Isa is. And Jesus is God's only begotten Son. The Father gave his best to this world. And by receiving him, you receive the Holy Spirit. And in the Holy Spirit is eternal life. So regardless how things are today, you could walk through it, get through it like you've been doing the rest of your life. And yet I guarantee you things will get better ultimately into eternity, because this is God's promise. And let every man be a liar, but let God be true. So we thank God for all the missionaries that are out there. We've got friends on the Omega Radio Network like Jake McCandless and so many others, Daniel Seckham. These are guys that are ministering to the ends of the earth, predominantly in the Middle East and to a lot of these Islamic countries. And we have been hearing reports coming out of Iran, Afghanistan, and other Middle Eastern countries that there is a great sweeping revival. Reinhard Bonnke just had 1.7 million Africans showed up to one of his last crusades. It was his final crusade. 1.7 million people came out to hear the gospel, and many got saved again. I think it was reported that nearly 70 to 80 million people have been saved under Reinhard Bonnke's ministry, and that was in a foreign country. You see, I believe real soon, boy, God better be bringing missionaries to America, because this American church has been turned into something I don't think God's ever intended it to be. And so the best are keeping their head above the waters. And so I love that when we hear from the missionaries, I love when we get the intel about a sweeping revival of Muslims that are being converted to faith in Jesus Christ at their own risk. I'd love to tell you a little story of a time when Patricia and I had the fortunate blessing to be in Italy. And we were on a train traveling from Taormina, Sicily. And we took the train, or we actually took a ferry over to the mainland, and then we took a train all the way up to Naples. And while we were on the train, we had the fortunate blessing to meet a young woman. Her name was Krista. She was from Berlin, Germany. This is a true story. And Patricia and I, we weren't doing anything, but we were just kind of having a blast on the train, traveling. We've been traveling all over Italy, and now we're going up to Naples, and this woman approaches us, and in her broken English and German, big tall Krista, about 6 foot tall, and she said, "Hello, may I talk with you?" And she sat down, and we had this conversation, and she said, "I just noticed that you guys were having such a fun time, and this is my friend, and his name was Kifa, and Kifa was from Turkey." And she said, "We've been considering some things, and we just were looking at you, and we'd like to have conversation with you." And so out of that, we had this conversation. It was so funny when we finally pulled into Naples, we had exchanged phone numbers, and where we lived in San Diego at the time. And Kifa offered to take our bags when we got to the train station. I thought, oh, this whole thing's been a setup. This guy's going to steal our luggage, but what the heck? And he did not, obviously. He made sure he got us to the next place we needed to go, and it was beautiful. And we said goodbye to Krista and Kifa. Well, when we were through with our trip, we were back in San Diego, and we get a phone call from Krista. And Krista says, "I would like to come out to San Diego and visit with you." And she also had told us while we were in Italy, the reason why she was in Italy is that her mother owned a house on the island of Ischia. On the island of Ischia, which is really right off the coast of Naples. If you go out to the sea, Naples, out a little bit, there's the island of Ischia. And her mom had a home there that she would visit every winter. She would go out there. It was her winter home. And they were there for the spring and summer, too, and all that stuff. So anyways, Krista called us when we were in San Diego, and she wound up flying out. She stayed with a family in our church in San Diego. And Patricia led her to faith in Jesus Christ. And Krista had a vision of these big doors opening wide, and she saw colors and she saw magnificent things in her spirit. And she became a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. She went back to Berlin, Germany. She opened her house to a Bible study. Within 1 week, there were over 50 Germans in her apartment. They call it flat. And she's getting this born-again. She wound up joining the Berlin choir. And she was traveling around singing. And so she's a very strong Christian. Then we get a call from Krista and Kiefer, and they said, we want you to come out to Berlin, Germany, and we want you to marry us. Ah, so we were flown out to Berlin, and we had a friend with us, Paul. And so Patricia and Paul and I went to Berlin. And the one thing I remember, this is many, many years ago, is the size of those cherries. Man, those cherries were huge. They were like apples, and they were delicious. But anyways, we stayed with Krista, and Kiefer was living with her. And we spent a good solid week and a half counseling. And we traveled with them. We had dinner. We had a blast. We're going through the old Berlin, East Berlin. And I remember the signs of the people, you know, forgive us. We weren't there. We didn't do it. You know, they still had that thing on them. That reproach was still on the German people for what happened in World War II. And we got chased by a guy on a bike. That was exciting. But anyways, the day came that it was time for us to marry, and Kiefer told us, being from Turkey, he was a Muslim. And there were a lot of Muslims in Germany at that time, and he hung out with his Muslim friends, and he told us if he converted that he would be ostracized from his family, and it could even get worse than that. And but he pressed on. We read scripture to him every day. We led him to faith in Jesus Christ. He said he believed. We taught him. Then they took us out to this lake, this huge, gorgeous, beautiful lake in Germany. Germany is beautiful, by the way, palaces and all these things. And so we're in the lake area, and we baptize Kiefer. And we baptize Krista. They believed, they hadn't been baptized yet, so we baptize them. And it was really surrounded around Kiefer, who had just come to faith in Christ. And so we remember being in the lake, and then a few days later, they had called some friends. We went out into the forest, and we married Krista and Kiefer. To this day, they are still married in Berlin. And we've had the opportunity once in a while, they call us up and say, hey, we'd like to have you guys come out to Italy. It's been a long time now, but in those days, it was quite a blessing, and to just be with them and to stay with them and be their pastors and counsel with them. But, you know, I saw this Muslim man get converted. And I know that there is a real revival happening in the nation of Islam around the world among Muslims. And they are at the peril of losing their lives, giving their hearts to Jesus Christ. In fact, one missionary said that when he was passing out the New Testament scriptures, that the people were rather angry. And they were saying, why didn't we have this book? Why didn't anybody tell us about this New Testament here? And they just didn't have it. They had their Quran, they had their Hadith, they had the Old Testament, but they didn't have the New Covenant that explained who Jesus really was. And very, very powerful. So I think, you know, some of the things that God wants to do in this generation are very powerful things. And here's what we have to be careful about. You and I have to be careful about saying things like this. What this church needs is... Or, I can't believe our government officials, as I said, we all better be careful about the things we say. Or, if I were there, I would. Or, our schools are really in bad shape. Someone ought to do something. Well, gripers, complainers, self-proclaimed prophets, and armchair quarterbacks abound. It is easy to analyze, scrutinize, and talk about all the problems in the world. But what we really need are people who will not just discuss a situation, but who will do something about it. Now, before I tell you where I'm getting that from, I want you to know I've searched my heart. And we do a lot of crying out against the ills of our society, no doubt. But I also want to compliment our calling with the fact that 8 years ago, we moved out of beautiful San Diego, California. We came to Northwest Arkansas to build an ark. It began as a disaster relief center, and then it turned into an ark, and it went back to a disaster relief center. And by the time we were all done, we finally got the clarity of our vision prepare an ark. These are like the days of Noah. God had put in our heart to do something about the concerns that we had. And so we spent 5 solid years. We moved here 8 years ago. In the first 5 years, we were solid in preparing an ark. That's what we did. We built a place, and it wasn't an actual boat, but God told us to get land, and God told us to dig wells and to plant gardens and to build RV pads and to get solar panel and generated power and underground shelters. And we did. Now, you got to remember, I was born in Jersey City, New Jersey. I mean, we don't know how to farm. We don't know how to raise chickens or cows or anything like that. We just don't do it. And then I was in San Diego, and in San Diego, you don't farm. I mean, there's no farming where we lived in San Diego. We lived in these big neighborhoods, right? And everything was so normal. So here we are in Arkansas for the first time. You know, nobody knew what to expect. All we know is that there was an absolute divine leading to come to Arkansas. I mean, God could have brought us to Kansas or Kentucky or Montana, you know, or South America, but God supernaturally led me personally to Northwest Arkansas. And then my wife and my father-in-law and a bunch of people from our church decided to come on down with us, and we put our hand to the plow and we built. That's what we did. We bought the land and we built, and we spent 5 years doing that. And people along the way were coming and offering their services. The guy that helped us build our RV park didn't charge a penny. He just, all he needed was all the equipment and, you know, the tools and the resources, but he didn't charge us a penny. But he got in there and he had his own RV park in another part of Arkansas. And he volunteered and dedicated and donated his time. And there we were working with him, digging the ditches, laying the pipes, doing all of the, putting the primer and all the glue on the pipes. And we did the electrical and the water, and we did the sewage and the septic tanks and 4,000-gallon septic tanks at the end of that RV park pad. And, you know, we just put our hand to the plow, and then others came out and they helped us build other little things. And then we dug out certain things and we put in shipping containers, and we did all this work. And there we were learning as we went, and people were coming alongside and just helping. And then, of course, we built in our warehouse a full-blown kitchen. We built bathrooms. We built laundry facilities, all on well water so that we could always have the well water. And then we had four, you know, I won't even get into the cost of things, but we had a well dug, and then we had a Whisper 700 or something windmill put up on top of the property that spins to produce power into the battery supply so that the well will always be running, because we knew the most important thing was the well. And we just built, and one idea after another, one project after another, you know, laying concrete pads and putting generators on the concrete pads and hooking up the generator, 20,000 kilowatt generator, to a power pole. So it's true, when power goes out in the region, that generator kicks on everything on the ark. And now I want a 60,000 kilowatt generator up there, because that's what we're really going to need. And we, you know, you have to get backup pumps. If anything were to happen to that pump, which I don't think it will, but if it did, you'd have a backup supply. People that know how to do things. Had a guy walk up to me last night after our Bible study and say, listen, I love what you've done here. And I'm a welder and a manufacturer. In other words, I asked him, what do you do? He says, I could build anything. And he said, I love what you're doing. And if the lights ever go out, I want you to know that I can contribute. And I thought, and then another man came up 2 weeks ago and last week, and he's a plumber. And he's like, you know, if you need any help, I'm here. I can help. And so these guys are coming up that are skilled. And even now, and I think what's happening, we had a 3-year lull, a 3-year gap. We moved here 8 years ago. We worked for 5 years. The last 3 years, we were full blown into taking care of Mr. B and, of course, pastoring the church and doing radio and doing all those things. But the building stopped, and the people that are living up there are maintaining what had been built. And now all of a sudden there are others coming. And I think the timing is absolutely amazing, because there's more we need to do. And in light of what we're hearing from the top, and I'm talking about the top of the echelon of government that we've talked about before, we need to rapidly accelerate in building and continuing to build this this ark that God has begun. And whether that turns out to be much more land, or whether that turns out to be, just more things that we're going to need, it's been awesome because we have a lot of trees, so we could cut down wood. We have wood burning ovens. The people have really connected. And one of the things that I appreciate and truly rejoice in is that after being a pastor for 25 years and going to church and seeing people two or three times a week, this is a project that we put our hand to together and have built and maintained. And it's something you're sharing in life. And people come and go all the time. People travel, they move about, they do. But we come back to church and we come back to center. We have something. New Wine Ministry Church has something. And I'm an advocate of trying to get pastors everywhere in all local churches. Go out and build a project, get some land, and do what we have done as a model. And I want to encourage pastors. Why? Well, if in fact the pre-trib rapture doesn't happen and you happen to be here and the lights go out, why not have something prepared for you and your church? You know, why just get caught in the snare? Why get caught in the trap? I know you believe in a pre-trib rapture, and if it happens, great. But if it doesn't, if this EMP that comes is not part of the end time scenario of the pre-trib rapture, then what are you going to do? And for people that are thinking, well, the government will take care of me, the government's not going to take care of you. The government is building its underground shelters, and it's going to go underground. And in about 6 months after the EMP, they're going to pop their heads out of their underground shelters to see the condition of the earth. And when they see it, they're going to close the hatch again. They're going to go back underground and wait another 6 months because of the devastation that's going to happen in this world, all over this world. You don't need, and yet these things are true. There are military powers. There are Russian forces. There are Chinese forces. But you really don't need the 7 to 15 nuclear bombs to be detonated in major cities across the country, which will happen as well. But the labor to cleanse the earth, to keep the population of the planet, according to the Guidestones, down to 500 million is an EMP. It is the choicest weapon. And we're now being told, not by the alt-left or the alt-right, not alternative news sources, but by the government, that it's very clear North Korea possesses the arsenal to wipe out everything, to blacken the earth, to literally darken the earth, to wipe out the electrical grid around the world, not just over America. They've got more rockets than you can imagine. And there's a system they have that once they release it, there's no stopping it. You can't shoot it down. There is no Star Wars system to shoot down these rockets. And our government knows it. So what the government is doing while every day passes is they are preparing. They are preparing to go underground. Russians are preparing to go underground. Chinese are preparing to go underground. What's going to happen? There's going to be a purge of the earth. And the Georgia Guidestones are in the mind of the secret societies. They understand. So how do we take a population of 7 billion people and bring it down to 6.5 billion people? Well, the choice weapon to cleanse the earth in a year to a year and a half is an electromagnetic pulse. It is the one weapon of choice to bring this. Now, the oligarchy of elites that sit at the top of the food chain, so to speak, they don't care about the general population. They have their own progeny. They have their own seed, their own children. They have their own resources. These are the rich men of the earth. These are the kings of the earth, the royal bloodline families. They don't care about the general population of the mixed masses. They want it cleansed so like Noah, they could come out of their arks and they could rebuild the world. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have to ask you, as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, how are you preparing? And so, again, we could sit here and complain and gripe and murmur about all the problems and sit there and scrutinize and analyze everything going on, which I do. I do that, but not in a griping spirit or complaining spirit. I do it to forewarn people what the conditions are, but we have put our hand to the plow and have done something. And even though it hasn't been the largest of works, we have done something, but we're not done. And I believe that we have a lot more to do. And so my call today to the people that are out there listening is that it is time once again to rethink our condition. And either we could say after 8 years, nothing's going to happen, or we could look at things from a different lens and say, you know what? What we thought was going to happen back then has just exponentially risen, and we're a lot closer today than we were when we started the project. And so God has been full of mercy and grace to prepare, but Do you really think this is not a good time to prepare? I think it is. I think it's a good time to prepare. And I happen to believe, and this is just a word of knowledge for someone, you're now in a season where I believe transition is going to be rapid. Watch and see. We've heard about it incrementally through the years that people, 300,000 Americans went to South America. They went down to Chile, or they went down to Panama, or they went, somewhere, wherever, and Argentina. So their people have been leaving, the expats. They're out there, Costa Rica. They've written books, get out of America, get out of America. But I believe you're going to see a massive transition in the days ahead. And that transition may take months, or it may take a year, but you're going to begin to see, because God's Holy Spirit is going to move again on His people to get them into the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. And ladies and gentlemen, if you think that you're going to go this alone, that you're going to handle this issue that's coming down the pike alone, if that's not a God-led, God-breathed, Holy Spirit-anointed thought in your mind, you better check that thought and present it as a sacrifice on the altar of God and say, Lord, I'm not going to prepare in fear of what man could do to me, but you are warning me to prepare. For you said in the book of Proverbs, a wise man foresees the storm and prepares himself and hides himself and moves on. And then the fool sees things, but he doesn't do anything and is destroyed. Paraphrase. So we live in a moment, folks. And we have actually lived in what it means to prepare an ark. We have actually put our hands on it. What I would like to do, if I had my way in the next year, I would like to go from city to city across America and meet with church leaders and pastors and congregations and instruct them on how to get their congregation a little bit more close-knit and getting some land, planting gardens, getting, building shelters, building little places. I would love to do that. I would love to tell people, show up at a Bible study somewhere and then reveal to them through the Word of God where we are, open their eyes, tell them the truth about what time it is, and, stop lollygagging around. And then once convincing them that, maybe we should think about this, maybe they too will say, maybe it's time for us to get our congregation to start putting in, not to build another church on a corner, but let's go buy some land, maybe 50 acres, maybe 100 acres, and let's get the people in our congregation that know how to jar food, that know how to work on electricity, get some plumbers, and let's go ahead and build us an ark for our church. And I really believe that is the right thing to do. Honest to God. I mean, if I didn't preach another sermon in my life, I still believe that the right thing to do is to tell people what is coming down the pike, what is happening, and from where this information is coming from. I go back, and I've told our congregation this many times, but I'll tell you another quick story. I just became a brand new pastor 25 years ago. I'm a brand new pastor with the most gorgeous wife, and there we are. And our first trip was to New Jersey. And Patricia and I took our trip to Zarephath, New Jersey, and a door opened to be on radio. And there was a radio station in Zarephath, New Jersey, and I don't remember how we even got invited to go to it, but we did. And I'm on this radio broadcast, and I'm sharing a vision that I had. And in those days, I wasn't much of a visionary. I didn't know about visions and dreams. I had some experiences with God that were awesome. But in this one real vision, I was taken up into space. Now, think about this. This is 25 years ago. I was taken up into space, and I'm looking down from space, and it's just dark. And I begin to descend, and as I'm descending, I can now make out continents. And I could see the United States of America. I could see the little boot of Florida. I could see it. And as I'm descending and getting closer and closer to our country, that's where I was landing. I was being brought into our country. I saw these little lights. And from a high perspective, you could see the West Coast to the East Coast, like just spread your finger and your thumb apart and you can see it like that. But in between, I saw these little lights. Everything was dark, but there was a little light here and a little light there, a little light in the Midwest and a little light south and a little light on the west, just a few scattered lights. Now, I didn't know anything about EMPs in those days. I had no idea what was going on, but I landed where I believe was Boston. And I remember the atmosphere when I actually came in and landed on the earth in Boston, that it was charcoal gray. And I remember feeling that the only way to describe this charcoal gray atmosphere was that Russia had just taken over the United States. And again, 25 years ago, I really didn't think that way. That's not what was going on in my spirit about Russia taking over the country. I probably heard it somewhere, and I don't know where the thought came from, but I know when I landed in Boston, it was charcoal gray, and the atmosphere is all the big churches have been shut down and locked up. And it was, and I remember it was in the midnight season. And I remember listening, it was like an echoey sound where you could begin to hear footsteps walking, and they're kind of echoing in that night, dark, heavy season. Well, I followed this man in the spirit in my dream, and this man walked to one of those places where a light was on, and he knocked on the door. And I'm outside with this man, and I'm observing this whole thing in the spirit. And the door opened, and a man of God answered the door, and his whole body filled the frame of the doorway. And the man had this X-ray vision, the man of God, and he's looking at this person who knocked on the door. And as he's observing him, he's recognizing. I mean, I'm seeing this in the spirit. The man's recognizing. Here's a carnal Christian. Here's a man that played games with God. Here's a man that's terrified and afraid, and all he wants to do is save his flesh right now. And this spirit man of God is analyzing him, and he's getting the download. And then I looked into the house where the man of God was, and I was brought into the living room. And I went into the living room, and it was the most beautiful golden light. It was just gorgeous. And there was music being played. There were about 7 or 8 people in this living room with celestial music. And this is all being witnessed in the spirit. And there was one person laid out on a couch. There was a jar of oil with the lid off of it. And the smell, the odor, the perfume of that oil was in the house. The music was there. It was the most beautiful environment, and this person was getting healed. And then I noted that the man of God shut the door to the person that was outside, would not let him come into the house. And the reason why is that the man of God knew that if I open my door to this individual, they are going to come in and they're going to quench the spirit in this house. They are going to darken this place. And that man of God would not let that person through to quench the spirit. And he shut the door to him. And I saw that frightened man run to another place where a light was on. And this was the end of my vision. Now, what I find out 20 some odd years later, that everybody starts talking about electromagnetic pulses and CMEs, coronal mass ejections from the sun, and that we have a vulnerable electrical grid, and we've talked about it for years. I've been on radio shouting out about it for years and years and years, and I told you 2 weeks ago, on a Sunday program over at KIRM Radio, where our congressman, Steve Womack, his father, runs the radio station, how the colonel, after my broadcast, said to me, and Pastor Ken was with me, he said, "Well, boys, Russia has the arsenal, and they are going to use it to darken the earth." That's what the colonel said. Now, I know the colonel has access into Washington, D.C. I know his son is in D.C. Every picture in his office, he's shaking hands with one of the presidents, whether it's Bill Clinton, George Bush, or, you know, whoever it is. He's got all this. He's that's his life. And I said, "Colonel," I said, "I've been saying this for years on your program. I've been here for 3 years on KIRM Radio." He said, "I know." He tilted his head and has lifted his hands. He says, "I know." He said, "But now we're hearing it from the." And I said, "Okay, well, we've warned early in the spirit. Now they're getting it. And Kim Jong-un has the arsenal to detonate massive weapons around the world." He didn't say just over America. He said over the world. He had this potential to darken the whole earth. And so all these combinations, all these connections are coming together. Things that God was showing us 25 years ago, things that God's been showing his people for years and visions and dreams. I don't think it was just cupcakes, ding-dongs, and bad pizza. Honest to God, I think people have been witnessing within our generation. You see, to us, you know, 5 days is a long time ago. We don't remember what we heard in church yesterday. We'd have to really sit back and think, what did you do last Wednesday? Where were you last Thursday? Or today's Thursday. So go back last Thursday. What did you do in the last 7 days? Tell me about your life. Well, let's go back about a month. What did you do Thursday a month ago? You'd have to really think about that, right? Because we're living in such an accelerated moment of time where time is wrapping up. It is accelerating. And that's exactly what God said in the book of Romans would happen. And in the last days, God would shorten the time. We know that in the last days, he's gonna shorten the days. And I believe that's to a 3.5-year period of time so that, you know, he said no flesh would be saved unless he did. So time is wrapping up. Yesterday's hard to remember. And yet God in the last 25 to 30 years through Pastor David Wilkerson, the prophet Dimitri Dudeman, and I can't even begin to tell you the other voices that were in America, particularly warning our nation since the 1960s, saying, listen, don't go this way. And understand this, I was born in 1963. January 5th, 1963 is when I was born. Same time JFK was being assassinated, same time our government was, you know, beginning to make war with God by saying, you know, we're not going to have Bibles and prayer in our schools and government anymore. We're going to separate church and state and all that stuff. Well, I was born this January, boy, 55 years. I'm still within the context of a generation. So in other words, I was born into a generation, and I believe the generation that we are in is the generation that began in 1948, particularly when Israel became a nation. I believe that was the marking of a new generation. Do you know that May 2018, just a few months from now, is going to be the 70-year generation for Israel becoming a nation? 70 years. Read your Bible. 70 is a complete number. 70 is a generational number. And Jesus said all these things are going to be fulfilled within this generation, the generation that would witness the fig tree blossom again. The fig tree is always connected to Israel. So, and I won't go into detail about that because I'm not that familiar with it, but I know that we are living in a very specific generation that not only saw Israel become a nation, but also has witnessed the greatest technological explosion that the world has ever seen. These are very two powerful end time. Daniel chapter 12 tells us all about it. They'd be flying around on wings, airplanes in our generation, right? And that knowledge would increase, and technology has exploded. Come on, you have a phone right now that could run your whole life. They could put a microchip in you, and your whole life is under the control of that thing. So it's a brilliant moment. Time is shortening. We have work to do. You know, it took Noah 100 years to build his ark while he was preaching righteousness. But then again, he lived to 777. His father was 777 years old. Noah started to build his ark at the age of 500. And so we're not living in that time frame. It's shortening. It's rapidly exiting. I mean, time is collapsing, if you will. It's like everything is coming to its conclusion, to its end. As Peter said in 1 Peter 4:7, I think it is, the end of all things is at hand. And there have been many ends of civilizations and many ends of empires and many ends of times and dispensations. But there comes a moment in the scriptures in Ephesians that within the dispensation of the fullness of times, which is the wrapping up of the ages, the consummation of the ages. And ladies and gentlemen, it appears that our generation is that generation. You just witnessed again in Australia yesterday, Daniel told us, that they promoted and they legalized homosexuality. It was in Ireland. It's traveling all over the world. The nations are being saturated with this diabolical evil that is pouring out of the belly of the beast. It's true. And a time of persecution is coming. But the saints of God need to prepare to just exit through the canal, the birth canal, because something's being born. And I believe the great tribulation of Revelation 13 is the canal. That's the 3.5-year period when the baby's actually coming out of it. And you and I have to endure to the end. We have to go through. We cannot afford to get stuck or ensnared or caught in a horrible place. Now, the Nazis, it's a great witness to what God is trying to get into our understanding with an EMP particularly and a global military power in general around the world. You and I do not want to be caught and captured and brought into a re-education camp. We do not want to find ourselves out there being lassoed up and brought into these places. And I have to believe that God is preparing places, because he said in the book of Revelation chapter 12 that he has a prepared place for the woman who's going into the wilderness. And I do not believe that's just isolated to Israel and them going into, you know, any particular place. I believe that the saints of God around the world are going to be the focus of this great persecution, this global tribulation, and God is trying to warn as many as he can to prepare for it. Now, if you and I prepare to die in this time, let us prepare to die. If we're willing to lay our lives down, if we're going to be martyrs, then so be it. But when God says, I want you to prepare an ark, I want you to prepare a place with food and water and shelter, because you're going to go through something, but I'm trying to get you into a position that you'll be able to go through, that I could supply you, that you will not feel the harshness that so many people in the world are going to feel. Now, you go back to Revelation chapter 7, that's exactly what the Bible says. There's 144,000 sealed with the seal of the Father in their forehead. They're not going to be touched by the great tribulation. But the untold multitude in Revelation 7, they're going into the great tribulation, and they're going to be washed, and the spots, wrinkles, and blemishes are going to be dealt with. So the great tribulation is really a cleansing process for the church of Jesus Christ, but not everybody's going into it. And you say, well, the 144,000 are just, you know, natural Jews. And I would contend with that. I don't believe that. I believe that if you're born again, you've been grafted into the tree of Israel. You've been assimilated into the tribes. And it's not about your natural disposition. You read Revelation 14, and the people that are getting a seal are people that have a characteristic about them. They live a holy life, a godly life. And they are walking with the Lord, and they receive the Father's signature in their forehead so that they will escape. I don't know about you. I don't want to be in a concentration camp. I don't want to be martyred. I don't want bamboo sticks going up my fingernails. I don't want to have to go through what the Jewish people went through in Nazi Germany. Now, you may want to. I don't know. I don't want to. And if God is saying there's a way that we can prepare by hearing him and then being diligent and doing something, well, I think it's a wise thing to do. I just do. I've been talking for 40 minutes here, maybe more. And maybe now is a great time to open the telephone line. So let's do it. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. Press 1 on your dial pad, and I'd love to hear from you. I believe with all my heart we have work to do. I believe that, and it cannot be done by just a couple of people. There needs to be a gathering together of people that have the like-mindedness to believe and understand. This is not about running in panic. This is not about fear. It's about preparing. And unfortunately, go to your city government, go to your local government, and ask them, what have you done to prepare the citizenry that if a nuclear bomb goes off or an EMP, what is your plan to take care of all of us people? I challenge you to do that, because what you're going to hear is, nothing. We're not thinking that way. Why not? Well, we're not taking the threat seriously. Why not? That is the question that you need to ask them. And so the church has to be responsible for taking care of its own people. I'm going to take our first call this morning and say, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. Patricia Joy, I believe that's you.
Yes, it is me. Good morning.
Good morning.
I heard what has been said. And yes, we do have to prepare. There's no doubt about it. It is that time. But there is a scripture in the book of Revelation that talks about the woman that is brought into the wilderness and taken care of for time, and time and a half. I believe that woman, they're the people that have been listening and desiring to do the will of God and to be right and ready in spirit, mind, and body, physically and in every way possible for the coming of the Lord. And, you know, the dragon goes after her to try to devour her, but the earth opens up and receives all the filth of this world and the lies and the confusion and the deception. And she's there protected. I believe that is what God's will is. I don't even think we have to consider anything else. But to get there and to believe and to understand that it isn't Israel alone, but all those who truly believe in Christ, those of Israel that have come in and the two have become one, and the Gentile and the Jew alike, who have a Messiah, and that Messiah has been their calling and their desire. Now, I believe in the woman in the wilderness. I believe it's the church of God and those who have come into the church who know who they are as the bride of Christ. This is my take on it.
Well, it's an absolutely terrific take. And, you know, I would just add to that. We talk a lot about the days of Noah and preparing an ark. But recently, Patricia, I've been looking into the book of Nehemiah. And I want to read a few verses here in the book of Nehemiah. Maybe this will really, you know, quicken a thought in someone's heart and mind today. And in this Bible I'm going to read out of, it begins with, "These are the memoirs of Nehemiah." And what's awesome about a memoir, whether it's the pioneers that came to America, we read their memoirs, we learn so much about history. And there was a time in the history of Nehemiah where we're told that he was moved upon. So let's go ahead and just read a few verses real quick. It says, "In late autumn," and that's where we are right now, "of the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hannah and I, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had survived the captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, 'Things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been burned.' When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, 'O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people, Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, the laws, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses.'" And I would just interject for a new covenant believer that's going to learn something from this. What we, our sin is when we take our eyes off of Christ. Anytime we take our eyes off of Christ and try to revert to some other way, that is our sin. As much as Nehemiah was saying you need to keep the rules, the regulations, you know, the commandments, the ordinances, you know, that was his generation, our sin is always going to be there when we take our eyes off of Christ. And so many people are living life without looking to Jesus to guide them in every area, right? So that would be our sin, taking things into our own hands or whatever. Well, verse 8 goes on, "Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you sin, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. We are your servants, the people you rescued by your great power and might. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success now as I go to ask the king for a great favor. Put it into his heart to be kind to me." In those days, I was the king's cupbearer. So in the beginning of this story of Nehemiah, we have a man that's looking at the condition of his nation. And the condition of his country is in disgrace. It's horrible. The wall is down. Nothing's working. So what does Nehemiah do? You know the story, and I'm going to continue to read it, Lord willing, in the days ahead. He gathers the people together, and they begin to build. And I believe, Patricia, in many ways, this is what God is telling us to do right now, to consider, you know, getting things prepared. Now, you know, we're not coming out of captivity in that sense, but we're watching Reinhard Bonnke's final, you know, outreach to the nation. He's passing the torch down to other young missionaries and evangelists that are going to be continuing his work. But we're just seeing so many things concluding, so many things wrapping up. We're hearing of the trouble that is coming. Would it not be wise to prepare? I think I lost Patricia Joy. Let's take our next call coming in to Pastor Ken. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Okay. Oh, yes, there you are.
Yes. The preparation is necessary. The bride, the woman in the wilderness, she was prepared. She was prepared in her heart, in her spirit, and she understood the signs of the times, and God brought her to the perfect place for protection. I believe that's what our ark represents, and others who have taken the time and effort to do what is necessary in these days, and for to go forth to the churches, and in your church, make that demand. Rise up and say, do we have any provision that we can utilize in the latter days, or if there is an EMP strike tomorrow, where we can rally together, where we can move together and be protected in that time, not as those of lone wolves, but those as a unit and the unity of the body of Christ. And that's what we have been preparing for. And I believe you're right. Every church needs to be prepared for the woman who will be in the wilderness. The ark is in the wilderness.
Well, amen. And again, great comments. And it's just a time. And I would remind everyone about the challenge. Go to your local government. Ask them what they are doing to prepare for you as a citizen within your community in the event of a nuclear attack or a EMP. What is your plan? Do we have an underground bunker? Do you have a shelter? How are you going to provide for me and my family, diapers, food, water, and the rest of the people in this community? What's your plan? I guarantee you that the majority of governmental leaders will not have a clue about what you're talking about. And if they do, they may say, well, we've done this, or they've simply been preparing for their own selves. It is critical that you find out what's going on in the community that you live. And then I would challenge, go to your local, make it your business to go to 10 churches in the next 2 weeks. Go to 10 churches, talk to 10 pastors, knock on their door and say, Pastor, what are you doing to prepare your congregation for a nuclear bomb that may go off in the city or an electromagnetic pulse? And if you don't get laughed at least 8 or 9 times, I'd be surprised. And if you get some conversation 1 or 2 times, it will be basically, what are you talking about? Let's take our next call this morning, coming in from Pastor Ken Wagner. Good morning, Ken. How are you this morning?
Well, good morning, Pastor. Doing well, thank you. You know, you're bringing up some really good, pertinent points for people to think about. And, you know, I know where I was before and my thinking in terms of the rapture. And, you know, I've heard all the discussions for the pre, the mid, and the post, and all of these right on through. But I kind of want to address something to some of the people that still believe in the pre or the mid or even the post. But I can't help but think, why is there a problem with getting ready? No matter what you think, being ready and prepared will give you peace of mind. And I'm speaking to the people that are not really strong on knowing the Lord, but more of the people that are kind of on the fence post, that why can't you have, being prepared, the peace and the grace and the knowledge that you are prepared for whatever comes? I mean, we build tornado shelters all around. We build all kinds of protection mechanisms for ourselves. Well, so even if it didn't happen, they would still be prepared, and they have that peace of mind. They have a place to go to. They can have food. They can have clothing in case of any kind of a disaster that might happen. I don't know why people argue about this all the time, but to me, just knowing that I, in the natural, just having that peace and having everything ready and available to me would be a great Christians. We know it's a must that we have to go ahead and do this and have to be prepared, not only physically, but also spiritually.
Well, it's an outstanding thought, and I agree 100% with you. And let me ask you a question. The people that are out there listening today and people that are hearing this message, you know, in different places, I think one of the challenges is, how many of you have grandchildren out there right now? How many of you have kids that you're thinking, my kid needs to get to school, needs to be educated, they have a life ahead of them? And my grandchildren, you know, they're so playful and they're so full of life, and I want something great for them. And I want them to grow up and go to college. I want them to graduate. I want them to find their calling. They play music. They play sports. They love business. They are scientists. They're computer experts in our generation. And I think one of the challenges is that there's a whole world out there. Again, there are nearing 7 billion people on the planet, all over the world, different colors, different cultures, different languages, poor people, rich people, you know, and I think sometimes the idea of, you know, coming away from all of that and preparing a little ark or a place, somehow we think, well, we're the goofy ones. You know, what am I doing building a boat or building an ark? What am I doing when, you know, life is going on everywhere? Well, that's exactly what Jesus said would be happening, is it not? That they'd be buying and selling, building, giving in marriage, marrying, and do all these different things along the way, and then suddenly. And wasn't it during the time that life was going on as usual that Noah was preparing his ark? And so I think one of the challenges is that, well, how can I do this without looking like an oddball? Well, don't tell anybody is one thing you could do, or just suffer the insult and let your building and your preparation be a sign. Like in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it says that Noah's building the ark was a sign of condemnation to the whole world just because he was building an ark. I mean, these are important issues.
Something to that, please.
Yeah, go ahead, Patricia.
That Russia has already taken the time and effort and the cost to build a whole city underground, where they say, from what I've read and looked into, that almost every individual that is under that government will be protected, that lives in Russia. Now, if they can do such a thing and care enough for their people, what has gone wrong with our nation? What has gone wrong with our government? That's why we must take the time and effort to take care of ourselves in this manner, and with the help of God, of course. And many who believe in the rapture does not take away from the fact that they could still be in an EMP strike. So we need to really get wise. We need to listen to the voice of God talking to his prophets and warning, as the warning upon the people is what God has called this radio station to do. So may the hearers hear, and may their ears be anointed to understand.
Amen. All right, we're down to just minutes here, and I want to say one thing, and then Pastor Ken, if you still have a comment you'd like to make. You know, in the book of Nehemiah, which is a great book, many, 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 many times he is encouraging the people, because there's such opposition against them from building the wall. You remember the story. And Tobiah and Sanballat and the Arabs, they're all mocking them and resisting them. And the people get tired and they give up. So there's this constant prophetic voice and this constant voice that is going out to them, build, 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 build. Put your sword in one hand and your tool in another hand for you and your wives and your children. And they're constantly told, build, build, build. Do you know they built that wall in 52 days? You know, that's something that is miraculous. Can we do something together in 52 days that would complement these end times? Pastor Ken, we've got a couple of minutes left. Any final thoughts in your heart, sir?
Your heart. I agree with you with Nehemiah. They were smart. They were building a home, but they were preparing for war at the same time.
Right.
We need to be doing the exact same thing, because we're in the same type of scenario that the Jews were in the time of Nehemiah. They were ready for war, carrying that sword, but they were still building and preparing for everything that was going to come. We should be
Amen.
The same way.
Amen. Excellent comment. You know, as we're going out in our last 60 seconds, pray for me, because I'm going to begin a fundraising campaign amongst the people out there, not in the church. I'm not asking the church to do anything at this point. I really believe that there's a mystery in Nehemiah. He went to the king, and I'm going to start seeking grants and finding ways to raise money to get things done, because the luxury of being hindered because of lack of finances. So pray for me that God would lead me to the right people to ask for financial blessings to help do what is in my heart to do, which is build an ark that will last for 5 years. And that's it. That's what I want to do. And I've also, for those of you listening to Omega Radio, I've asked for you to just consider a $10 a month donation to pay for a telephone that we bought for Kyle. No one has yet responded to that, except for one person gave a $20 bill. So if you're interested, please go to our website at omegaradio.org. Consider a $10 a month donation to pay for a technical part of this ministry, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God bless you, saints. I'll see you tomorrow. This is Pastor Vince. Trust you're having a great day. Until we meet again, shalom.